So in 2017, my thought is we had some great, great victories. But I think that as many people are here today and as many people are going to be in the second service and as many people are going to be in the third service tonight at Esperanza, that in the midst of this many people, some of you had some setbacks, some situations that were challenging to you. Could somebody raise your hand and say, Pastor, you're prophetic here, okay? And I don't know what you've gone through. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you've gone through a divorce. Maybe your spouse did something that was just extremely challenging to you, and you're frustrated, and you feel like there's just been such a setback. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe you just feel like you're in a dry place and you've been trying to get out, but it seems like you're stuck. I don't know what the setbacks are, but here's what I want to teach to you today. How you take your setbacks and how you make those into a comeback. Taking a setback and making it into a comeback. Because let me tell you the reality. Turning your setback into a comeback. Let me tell you the reality. Here's the reality. That in 2018, many people will have a comeback. Many people, and when I say comeback, I don't mean just coming back to the place where you were. I mean coming back to the place where you're at and exceeding the place where you're at. See, here's what I believe. I believe 2018, you know what? And I'm preaching this sermon on purpose before we get to the end of the year, because here's what I know. There's going to be people, you know what, hundreds and thousands of people that in 2018 are going to come back from their setback and live a higher, greater understanding of life than they've ever lived before. I can guarantee you there are going to be a bunch of people like that. That's not the question. The question is, are you going to be part of that group? Because there are also people who, having had a setback, will allow that situation to dictate who they are, and they'll stay right in that mess. And unfortunately, you know what? It not only will get as bad as it is, but it will get worse. And they will live in a confused state thinking that, you know what, that's just how it is. In 2017, this happened to me. It knocked me off the horse, and they'll just stay down. Let me tell you what, just because you're knocked down doesn't mean you have to stay down. I'm going to tell that somebody needs to hear that again. Just because you're knocked down doesn't mean you have to stay down. Some of you listen to me, you know what, through Facebook. And I'm telling you this today. Listen to me. This isn't just a coincidence that you have tuned in. This isn't just a coincidence. I'm telling you, just because you got knocked down doesn't mean you have to stay down. That's reality. But here's the reality too. There are some principles that I'm going to teach you today that need to be implemented in your life. In other words, it's not God who says, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Eeny, meeny, meeny, miny, mo. Meeny, meeny, miny, mo. God's not saying that. And for those who are the eeny and the meanies, you know what? You know, life bites. But for the mo's, whoa, wow, aren't you glad you're a mo? No, let me tell you what God does. God says, mo, 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 mo. God is a blesser, and he's there to bless you. But you have to take opportunity for what he has presented in front of your face. Can you say amen? Amen. You know, you ever hear this on the radio? Somebody, you know, they have a lottery and they pulled the ticket and somebody won $38 million, but they haven't come to the surface yet. You know what I think when I think about that? I think, is that person just waiting? You know what I mean? Just having fun, just going, man, I'm rich and nobody knows it. Woo! Or did that person throw his lottery ticket, you know what, in the trash can somewhere or in the garage or under, say, you know, I've done this. I don't know. But here's what I want to say. I want to encourage every single one of you today that your setback can become a comeback. And I want to give you some principles to activate this comeback in your life today. The first thing I want you to understand is, the first principle is this. You have to release your regret. Everybody say, release your regret. Everybody say, release your regret. Okay, everybody sing it. Release your regret. Oh, man. You got to release your regret. You have to release your regret. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. I have it up here on the screen. Brethren, I do not count myself as having obtained. Paul's saying, listen, I'm not saying that I got it all together. I know that I'm still a work. I know that God is still working in me. I know it's still a process. I understand that. But let me tell you what. I might not have it all together, but let me tell you what. God is doing a work in me. I like to say this. Listen, maybe I'm not exactly how God wants me to be, but let me tell you what. I'm better than I was last year. Amen? See, you need to look at your life and examine your life, and you need to be an example to your family. You need to be an example to your kids. You need to be an example to your grandkids. You need to be an example to the people around you. If you're the same place that you were 3 weeks ago, 3 months ago, 3 years ago, I love you, but grow up. You got to move, amen? God is speaking to you. You know what? There's some Christians, and they just stay in the same place. And here's the reality. They're not in the same place. They're not in the same place. It's like, listen, let me tell you what. This world is like what do they call the pools that go around and go around and go around? Whirlpool. This world is like a whirlpool. And if you just stop swimming, if you stop trying, you know what? You're just going to go down. You're just going to go with the flow. Paul says, let me tell you, that's not who I am. Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. And that's what Paul's doing. He's fighting. He's praying. He's spending time with God. And because of that, maybe he's not where he's going to be. But let me tell you what, he's not where he was before. And you need to have the integrity to look at your life. And maybe some of you are stagnant. You need to say, you know what, I can't do that anymore. Too much has been given to me for me to live a life of stagnancy. That's a word. Paul says, I'm not saying I comprehend, but let me tell you what. Let me tell you what I do. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Everybody say forgetting. Forgetting. Somebody say, no, you can't forget. Well, okay. Either Paul's got it together, either Paul's right or you right. I choose Paul. Let me tell you why you can't forget. Because you keep on saying you can't forget. Life and death and the power of the tongue. You can, you know what, supernaturally, how many know with God all things are possible? You know, oh, I can't forget, I can't. No. You keep on thinking about who you were. You keep on thinking about that sin. You keep on thinking about that bad attitude. You keep on living. Listen, if you keep on living, what was that movie, Groundhog's Day? If you keep on living it over and over and over again, you know what? Of course you're thinking there will be no progression. Paul says, let me tell you, a key to walking in victory, a key to looking more like Jesus. At some point in time, you've got to release your regret. You've got to release your regret. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which were behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. So critical. Again, the question isn't, are you going to have a come? Is there going to be somebody in 2018 who has a comeback? That's not the question. The question is, will you be one of the people who have a comeback? That's the only question. For the areas, and you know what? And I had a great 2017, but there were challenges in 2017. And those areas where I, you know what? I'm going to be one of those who come back. I'm going to say that. I'm going to be one of those. Amen. See, I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. Oh, well, you know what? You can't control your life, Pastor. Oh, excuse me. You know what? You've been listening to too much Kansas. Amen. All we are is dust in the wind. You're not just dust in the wind. The Bible says that you know what? That the authority has been given to the sons of men. You're a child of God. You're a son of man. You've been created on this earth to make a difference in people's lives and in your lives and in your family's lives. But you can't do that if you are stuck in regret. This one thing I do. Regret, let me tell you what regret does. It imprisons you with guilt, with depression, with self-pity. You know what? And it causes you to just live there. Without releasing your regrets, you will never be able to make it to the place of comeback. Without releasing those regrets, you know what? Yeah, you did it. Like when you did it, God was like, oh, no. You know what? You knocked me off my throne. When you sinned, God wasn't surprised. And he sent his son, and his son has already died for those sins that you've committed in 2017. So let it go. Amen. Amen. The problem with regret is regret lives in the past. Regret lives in the past. How many know you can't change the past? How many know you can't change the past? So you live in the past, you're stuck when you live in regret. First thing you have to do, you have to release regret. Second thing you have to do, you have to abandon a setback mentality. You have to abandon. You have to abandon. Everybody say abandon. You have to abandon this setback mentality. No, it happened, but that's not who you are. It happened, but that's not where you have to stay. You have to abandon that. A setback mentality is where you are self-absorbed. And you keep on playing it over and over in your mind. It's like, I blew it. And when I blew it, that caused things to happen. How many know there's sin will cost you something? So here's what happens. You blew it, and you understand some of your setbacks had nothing to do with you. They just didn't. Setbacks happen primarily for three reasons. One, because of you. Somebody say amen to this. Amen. It's choices that you made. But there's also setbacks that happen because of other people's choices. I mean, no, that's true. And then there's a third way where it didn't have to do with some else's choices. It didn't have to do with your choices. It just had to do with life. Yeah. I mean, we live in a corrupt world. And so there's setbacks. Some of them happen because other people did things. Some things don't have anything to do with you. You just got caught up in it. But there are some times that you were involved with your setback. no matter what it was, but talking about the last one, the ones that you were involved in. How many know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. The ones that you were involved in, it has this mentality. Satan would like to come in and go, you know, see, that's what happened, and that's what happened, and then that's what happened over here. See, and you keep on replaying it over and over again, and there's just like regret, setback, and you got to get out of it. Okay, it happened. Okay, you crashed the car. Okay, you were drinking. Okay, you crashed the car. Okay, it's going to cost you $4,000 to fix it. Okay, whatever the situation was. Okay. But that was the past. You can't live in the past. You got to get rid of this. You got to abandon that. You have to abandon that. You know what? Lamentations chapter 3, watch this, verse 20, 22. Through the Lord, the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Guys, God understands that those things happen. God even understands that you sin. But watch this. But you're not going to be consumed because of his compassions. You know what? They don't fail. Watch this next verse. So powerful. Watch this. They're new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. God's faithfulness is so great. It's more great than that stupid thing. You know what? And you just keep on regurgitating. Man, I blew it. Yeah, how many relate what I'm saying? You blew it and you really blew it and it had some negative connotations, but you keep on living that. Man, my life would be so much better. Stop it. You got to stop it. You can't live in that place of regret. In order to drop this mentality, you must remember that your setback is temporary. Every say my setback is temporary. It's just temporary, guys. You cannot allow it to define who you are. That's what you did, but that's not who you are. That's what you did, but that's not who you are. That's not who you are. Refuse to go negative. You got to just refuse. Yeah, but but Pastor, that cost me so much. Okay. Listen, you won't have a comeback if you keep on gripping that, because you can't. It's like if I'm grabbing this, which is connected to that. If I can't let go, I can't move forward. I'm stuck. Yeah, but look what I did. Yeah, but look what I did. Yeah, but look at the negative. Oh, I was so stupid. Get over it, man. God's mercy is new every morning. He's faithful to you. You know what his mercy means? His mercy means you don't get what you deserve. But you keep on hanging on to what happened, what happened, what happened. Is God never, I'm just asking. And you know what this really comes down to? It really comes down to our not understanding who God is. Because if we understand, is God a restorer or is God not a restorer? Yes. See, God's got this supernatural way of fixing things to put you in a position. You're in the fire. Yeah, was he in the fire? He's in the fire. And he comes out. But when they come out, they don't smell like smoke. See, if you keep on hanging on to your setback, you can't ever move forward. And I'm telling you, because we serve a God who can restore, God can turn that setback into a comeback. And you can be in a place that you're better than you ever have been. And you look back and all you see, listen to me, and all you see is that setback, all it was just an opportunity for you to give glory to God. That's all it was. Amen. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? Number three. Number one, you have to release regret. Number two, you have to abandon the setback mentality. Number three, much like this, you have to exit the survival mode. What's the survival mode? survival mode is particularly, listen to me, when you get hurt. How many have been hurt by somebody else? You get hurt and you isolate, you put up walls. And listen, I understand that. I'm not even saying that that's not healthy for a period of time, for a short period of time. But you get into this isolation mode, you pull back. You've had a setback, and so you pull back. And you pull back and you cocoon yourself in this little safety and you go, oh, you know what? And it feels good for a little while. But I'm telling you what, if you don't come out of that, then you're going to live in that will turn into your own little pity party. And listen, and people like that, you know what they have in common? They're self-righteous. No, I didn't do anything wrong. 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 It's all of them that has done something wrong. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says when you isolate yourself, you rage against wisdom. And you become the sole one who makes the decisions and analyzes what's right and what's wrong, who's what's right and wrong. And people that do that, people who will cocoon themselves, something that they have in common, they are always right and everybody else is always wrong. I understand why it happens. It happens because you feel like, man, I just gotta crawl underneath my shell for a little while. And I understand. And it happens for a little while, and it can even be healthy for a little while. But how many know what's healthy for a little while can become very unhealthy? How many know that? And so you've got to exit this survival mode. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are crowned by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares you. This is a sin that will ensnare you. It is a sin that will ensnare you. It will entrap you. And because you're not getting any perspective by anybody else, any Christian leader, listen, Christian leaders, particularly your pastors, should be able to correct you. Okay, here.
Take a big breath. You want to rewind? Okay, I'm going to say that again, but I'm going to give you a good chance to say amen to that again. Okay, ready?
Christian leaders, particularly your pastors should be able to correct you.
Amen.
Amen. So let me make this correction for someone who has allowed a setback to cocoon you. It's also very selfish. Maybe you've lost a loved one and you just have cocooned. Well, amen, mourn. The Bible says, cry with those who are mourning. Cry with them. But let me tell you what, at some point in time, you got to get out of it. Because you have others around you who need your gifting, who need your talents, who need your input, who need you. And you can't stay in that cocoon. And if you stay in that cocoon, let me tell you what, you'll never walk into the comeback. Number four, you've got to change. You got to change. Listen, you have to make a decision to change. You're not going to continue. How many know, I'm just asking, if you ate 4 jelly donuts a day, I'm just saying I like jelly donuts. You ate 4 jelly donuts a day, I'm telling you what, you might be covering up your abs. Right? I'm not saying you don't have washboard abs. I'm just saying you're covering them up a little bit. And I'm not ripping on you if you like jelly donuts. I like jelly donuts too. I'm just saying, you know what? Bad choices, you're going to have a bad life. And all you have to do is just change, you know what, your behavior. You should probably go, oh, Pastor, that's so hard. That's so hard. Oh, Pastor, that's so hard. Here, do me a favor. Shutteth thou uppeth your moutheth. Because you are your biggest enemy. Amen? Stop saying this stuff over yourself. I've preached this before. Don't be a curser. Be a blesser. Amen. With your mouth, you shouldn't curse. You know what? Bless God and curse man. Well, I just, you know what? I don't know what it is. I just eat four chips and they go right to my thighs. You know what I mean? Silencio, por favor. Don't speak a blessing. You know what? You know what? Wake up in the morning and say, I'm a lean, mean fighting machine. Amen. Oh, I hate broccoli. You know what? You're so busy saying all the things you hate are all good foods. Amen. Just stop saying you hate broccoli. Amen. Oh, man, I love Pepsi. Well, let me tell you what. Let me tell you what the reality is. You love Pepsi. And you hate broccoli. Amen. Hello? I'm not talking about changing your diet. I'm not trying to get people skinny. Amen? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just using that as an example. But what I'm saying is, don't be deceived. You can't continue. Listen, you can't continue to get on the internet and look at pornography and think that your relationship with your wife is going to be intimate. Yeah, but she doesn't see. Really? Let me tell you, men, everything's coming out. Everything will come out. When it comes out, I don't know. But everything will come out. But even if you and her die at 80-something and she never knows, your marriage is spiritual. Amen? And women, you know what? Maybe some of you women have caught your husband in pornography. And it hurts you immensely. And I get that. And I don't get it like you get it, but I get it. But you know what? There wasn't one sin that you had that God said, I'll forgive all those 99%, but that one sin, it just really hurts me. Not one. Well, you can't do that to your husband. Freely you have received. Freely give. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand. You don't understand how he hurt me. Okay, I'm just asking. This is, you know what? Please, don't. I'm trying to help someone. I'm trying to help someone. You know, don't judge me. Please understand the Holy Spirit. You know what? You know why my feet are beautiful? Because the Holy Spirit uses the preaching of the word. He, you know, as imperfect as I am, the Holy Spirit uses men and women of God to prophetically speak into your life. Amen. Well, Pastor, where is that in your notes? That's not in my notes. I mean, change is in my notes. But I didn't know I was going here. Don't you want a pastor who preaches in the prophetic? Well, here's what I'm saying. The same thing. Stop saying that how much that hurts you. It hurt me. Stop it. You want to say something? Bless your husband. Bless your marriage. Say, my husband is a man of God. You know what? Sing it. You know what? For your eyes only. Use your words to be a blessing and change something in your life. If you've got to change it, change it. But don't think that you can continue to walk in that same old lifestyle and you're going to, you know what? You know, you're going to smoke a doobie every once in a while. You know what I mean? Because after all, now it's legal. You know what I mean? I heard somebody the other day say, hey, listen, what's legal before, I mean, are you, I love you. Are you crazy? If we're going to do all the things that California says is legal, you know what I mean? Legal isn't godly. Amen. And legal isn't right in the sight of God. Oh, you know, who cares? Listen, when you die, you're not going to sit in front of Governor Brown. He's not judging you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know, I'll just smoke a doobie every once in a while. You know, it's cool. It's not cool. You're better than that. You're better than that. And you got to change. Amen. Number one, you know what? You've got to release regret. Number two, you've got to abandon a setback mentality. Number three, you've got to exit this survival mentality. Number four, you got to change. I love Paul. Paul gets knocked off his horse. He's persecuting the church. You know what? And you know what Paul says in Acts? He says this. He says, Lord, what must I do? God will tell you. And not only God will tell you, God will help you. You're not in this thing alone. God will tell you and he will help you. Amen. Number five, you've got to restore your confidence. Everybody say restore your confidence. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 7. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 7. You guys got that? God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but a power, a love, a sound mind. I know God has called me to do this. I know I'm supposed to forgive. I know I'm supposed to walk in love. I know I'm supposed to be a blesser. I know I'm supposed to, but you know what? But what if I do this and this happens? Yeah, wait. Guys, you have to analyze. Whoa, you have to analyze where you are at. Do you hear me? You have to you can't just think whatever you want to think. You have to analyze and ask yourself, what am I doing? Why am I thinking that way? The Bible says that you have to believe, you know what, and not doubt. If you believe and then you doubt and you believe and you doubt, the Bible says don't expect to receive anything from God. And you've got to analyze that. There's things in your life that you have to look at and go, man, I can't allow this to stay in my life anymore. Hello. I can't allow this to stay in my life anymore. This is, where's that coming from? It's coming, that spirit of fear is coming from somewhere, but it's not coming from the Spirit of God. Hello. You got to get your moxie back. Amen. And see, the reason why you've lost your moxie is because what's going on is that setback tends for you to think, You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that God will go before you and make the crooked path straight. Amen. He make the crooked path straight. Joshua chapter 1. Guys in the back, I think you have this. Joshua chapter 1, verses starting with 6. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your families to give them. Stop right here. Here's what's going on. Joshua now is the man. Moses was the man, but now Joshua is the man. And when Moses was the man, he was taking all the weight and the responsibility of the Israelites. But now it's been given to Joshua. But here's the difference. Joshua is going to go into the land. The land, yeah, oh, praise God, is flowing with milk and honey. Yeah, flowing with milk and honey and inhabited by a bunch of other people who've been there a long time. See, you know what, Tyler, Tamara, that word, you can't allow yourself in 2018 to be intimidated. And so he says, Joshua, you can't let these people, see, you got to be strong and courageous. Why? Because it's your job to divide this inheritance, the land which I swore to your fathers. And it's filled with other people are occupying it. You got to go in there and say, you know what? This is my land. This is our land. Get out of here. You know, it's so interesting because that, how many know that's some boldness? But you have to be bold. This land, this is our land. This is sanctified land. And I'm believing for other lands. that aren't ours but are going to become ours. Can somebody say amen to this?
Amen.
Amen. And you got to do the same thing. Maybe you've allowed, you know what, your junior hires and your high schoolers that live in your house to occupy. And you got to go in there and you got to sanctify. Amen. Oh, praise God. I'm gonna get this tape myself. Next verse, quickly. Next verse. Only be strong and courageous that you might observe to do all which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to the right or the left, but you that you may prosper wherever you go. Next verse. Now this will just blow you out. Watch this. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. How in the world are you going to get your moxie back? How in the world are you going to get your confidence back? Here's what you're going to do. Read your Bible every day. Pastor, is that simple? Yes, it's that simple. Because you start seeing, oh, this is who God says I am. Oh, look at what God says I am. Oh, my goodness, look at what God's. Whoa, look at who I am in Christ Jesus. I am one bad dude. See, he thinks I'm a bad dude. I think I'm a bad dude. I am a bad dude. Bad dude? Where'd you get that, Pastor? I don't know. Do you understand what I'm saying? You and understand this. Watch this. For then God will make your way prosperous, and then God will cause you to have good success. Don't say amen to that. Why? Because that's not what it says. Here's what it says. For then, who gonna make your way prosperous? You're going to make your way prosperous.
Amen, amen.
So No, God. No, you're going to make your way prosperous. How? Watch this. Good choices, you're going to have a good life.
Yes,
it is. Listen, whether you live prosperous or not is not up to God. God has already want you to live prosperous.
That's right.
But if you start putting God's word first place and start doing what he says, let me tell you what, there's nothing can stop you. Don't argue with me. You know what? You ain't going to get better theology than the word. And finally, and I'll stop with this. You need to resurrect your dreams. Did you used to be skinny? And you want to be skinny? Did you not used to be skinny? You want to be skinny? Just, you know what? Then you know what? Then get a picture of someone who's nice and skinny and put your head on that picture. Amen? See, listen. Look, all eyes up here. 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 Listen to me. You know when God had spoken to Abraham and said, Abraham, you're going to be a blessing. You're going to be a blessing. You're going to be a blessing. You know what? Your descendants are going to be so many. You ain't going to be count them. And years 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 had gone by, and his wife still wasn't pregnant. God says to Abraham, hey, Abraham, come on out here. Come on, brother. We got to have a talk. And he takes him outside, and he says, look up. And I want you to see these descendants. I want you to see these stars. That's how many descendants you're going to have.
Amen.
See, let me tell you what. Your imagination was not created for you to think the worst of things. We've twisted our imagination and allowed our imagination to say, oh, what if my kids do this? Or what if this happens to the church? Or what if this happens with my marriage? Or what? That wasn't, hey, that's perverse. That wasn't why your imagination was made. Your imagination was made that you could see things before other people see them. I saw this South Sanctuary before it was ever built. Amen? I see other things. I see the outside before it's ever built. I walk out there all the time. What am I doing? I look at, guys, you ought to come about once a week, and before you come on in here, you ought to sit, you ought to spend 5 minutes and look and see what we're going to do. And it becomes so real. There's dreams and they've foggied up and you're not sure what's going on. And God says, no, listen, allow me to resurrect that dream. Don't think there's a sickness that is superior to my blood. Don't think there's an amount that you know what, that I can't provide. Don't think there's a relationship that I can't heal. Don't think that there's a depression that I can't be superior to. Don't think that, you know what, with God all things are possible. And understand, you've got to be the one who takes responsibility. Listen, Tamara and I are believing that 2018 is going to be your best year. And I tell you what, 2018 is going to be our best year. I'm telling you what. I'm a lean, mean fighting machine, and you know what? And God is doing supernatural things in my life, and He's going to continue to do them. But I'm going to continue to make some good choices in 2018. All right, sweetie.
Forgive my cold today. I am all over the place. I wanted to, Pastor said at one point, he said, you're better than that. That's part of the problem. We don't understand that we are better than that. We live below our means as to what God has called us to do because we don't receive who God says that we are and who He is. In morning prayer today, trying to remember what kicked that off. Tyler said something in morning prayer about, he said, if they only knew, he said the Lord had spoke to him this morning and he said, if they only knew who I was. And as soon as he spoke that, the Lord ministered to me that there is a spirit of intimidation that many of us are going to have to walk in our destiny with God. We are going to have to deal with the intimidation that comes to us telling us who we are. There's situations in our life that we, it's like, well, it's like this, and it's been like that a long time, and it's always going to be like that. Or, you know what, there's dreams that we have. You know what, God said this, yeah, but it's been a long time, and this happened and that happened, and so I don't even know if God is even going to. There's an intimidation that comes to us on a regular basis to defeat us from all that God has for us. Going into 2018, you know what? Many of us will end 2018 in awe of what took place throughout the year. Well, who's that going to be? It's going to be the ones who look that spirit of intimidation in the face and say, no, that's not the way it's going to be. God said, see, we don't let that book of the law depart from us. That we begin to spend more time with God and we begin to understand more of who God is. And we begin to lay hold of everything that God has for us. We walk defeated lives because we don't understand that which we have. But for many of us, it ends today. As this word is going to be received in your heart and it is going to change the way that you proceed in your life from this day forward. That we no longer look at the past or the circumstances, but that we look to God, the author and the finisher of our faith. And that we let Him tell us the way it's going to be. And that we don't let the circumstances tell us. Remember when Jesus, he came to fulfill that which God had called him to fulfill. And immediately the enemy comes to him and questions his identity, who he is, and how it's all going to take place. But Jesus didn't move off of what the Lord had said, and that needs to be us moving forward. It should have been us last year, but we don't look behind, amen? We're going to look forward, and we're going to say, okay, you know what, from this day forward, you know what, I am not going to let that intimidation of what has been define what's going to be. I'm going to let God define what's going to be, amen? Amen. Amen. Amen.